counting and if you forgot and if you can count if you've missed a day. This week we're going to talk about the minhag, the custom of avelus, of mourning, which the Jewish people have taken upon themselves during Sfirat HaOmer. So the Ramban writes in his commentary in Vayikra Chaf Gimel that these days between Pesach and Shavuos are meant to be a giant Chol HaMoed. Okay? Chol HaMoed. Just like in the beginning, you have Pesach, it starts day one and ends day eight, and then we have these days in between. So we have Pesach, joined to Pesach, we have Shavuos, and then we have this in-between period. Okay, now, let me ask you guys, is Chol HaMoed a happy time in the calendar or a sad time? What do you think?
Happy.
Happy. Happy time. So, L'Chaira, one would think that, you know, these would be happy days. Sunday, Monday, right? So, it's a bit strange. Why are we being sad? Why are we doing avelus? Where did that come from, right? Okay, so it all began in the Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos teaches us that dafka during these days, between Pesach and Atzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos, the students of Rabbi Akiva died. 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died. Zugot, two pairs of 12,000. And therefore, not written exactly in the Gemara, therefore you should mourn, but therefore this became a bit of a sad time. And the minhag of Am Yisrael became to do certain practices of avelus, okay? Because the minhag, there are certain things which we are lenient about, more lenient than in other halachos, for example, okay? Now, what's the point of this minhag? Like, why are we doing these mourning practices? It's not just to be sad because Rabbi Akiva lost these students, because we all know there's been, unfortunately, many, many sad things which have happened throughout history, right? So rather, what's the idea of these mourning practices? Anybody remember? Why are we doing these mourning practices?
It's to honor.
So now why they died, and it's because Shelo Nagu Kavod Zelazeh. They weren't respectful, they didn't honor each other, they didn't show each other proper love, right? And we know that was the whole Indian of Rabbi Akiva, of Avtalecha Kmocha, or Parsha, right? So therefore, the goal of these mourning practices is not just to be sad. Rather, the goal is somehow to remind us to be more aware of being Mechabed Echad et Hasheni. Okay, so that's like a really important fact, point that many people forget about these days. That yes, we'll talk about the details of shaving or not shaving, or music or not music. But the whole idea is to remind ourselves to treat each other more lovingly, more kindly, more respectfully. So if you're going to do all the minhagim, but still not, you know, up our game in terms of bin adam l'chavero, we're missing the whole point of it. Okay, so that's a really important point to stress. Strange that you would think that Rabbi Akiva would have given over this teaching so well that his students would have internalized it, right? Fantastic question. One answer is that only after 24,000 of his students died because they didn't honor each other, did he then realize that v'haftorecha kamocha zekla gadol b'torah. Beforehand, apparently he didn't stress that as much, but after this terrible tragedy, he chapped that it's all about v'haftorecha kamocha. That's one answer. There's a second answer that maybe because he taught it and they still didn't take it seriously, they were held to a higher level. You know, they were held to a higher standard. And my favorite answer is actually the answer of the Shem Yishmua. That dafka, because they loved each other so much, because Rabbi Akiva brought that teaching home so strong, they viewed each other as if they were parts, different fingers on a hand. Okay, now when a thumb, you know, smacks another finger, and a hand smacks another hand, the hand doesn't apologize. Right, because they're all one. So they so internalized that they were all one that they forgot the fact that we're also different. And therefore, they didn't treat each other with enough respect. It doesn't say they didn't treat each other with love. They loved each other, but they didn't treat each other with enough respect. Just like sometimes in a family, you know, you're so close that you don't show each other enough respect, even though you love each other very much. So it's a very powerful point that, you know, Dafka, the fact that it's Vaptoyacha Kamocha is Rabbi Akiva's teaching is not, is part of the equation. Okay. Anyways, so let's just quickly review the minhagim that have evolved in terms of this time period. First off, there's different opinions as to how long these minhagim continue for. Some people say the minhagim go all the way, all 50 days, right? That was the minhag of the Arizal. And that's, according to our Gemara, it says they died from now until Shavuos, and therefore all 50 days. Some people, the most common Masorah in the Ashkenazim community is to go into Lag BaOmer, because what happened in Lag BaOmer? They stopped dying, okay? And other things that we'll talk about. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, et cetera, is your side. But that's the second minhag. And some people go into Lad BaOmer because that's that they died until half of the Atzeret. And that's often Svaradim and others have that custom. Also, in terms of the custom, even within the Ashkenazi community, there were two different customs which evolved. The classic, the one that most people do, is from Aleph to Lag, 33 days. Some people have the custom to start at Rosh Chodesh Iyar, i.e. now, yesterday, and then they do 33 days until Erev Shavuos. Okay? Why is that? Again, the main thing is that they believe there was 33 days, and so it doesn't, that they were dying, and so it doesn't really matter which 33 days, as long as you take 33 days to be Miss Abel, to be aware of this. Now, something interesting that you should generally do whatever your custom is, you actually are allowed 1 year to go like custom A and then another year to do custom B in this particular Indian. So let's say you have a big wedding with your best friend and he goes in one time period and you want to be able to go to the wedding. So you could that year choose to mourn the other, do the other minhag. Even though I just said that, Rav Melamed, and all this, everything I'm saying is based on the Pesach of Eliezer Melamed in the Pnini Halacha, he actually says you are allowed, if you have a friend who is getting married, you're allowed to go to the wedding, even though it's your minhag not to, you wouldn't do a wedding during that time period, but if you're allowed to be somech on his minhag for the purpose of being misameach a chassan, which is a very interesting leniency that Rav Melamed has. Yeah, okay? Thing which is important to note. Ashkenazim are generally more machbit about the laws, about the minhagim, than Sfaradim. Now, why is that? It's based on a historical factor, which is that a lot of the terrible things which happened in the Crusades, and then later in the Tach, the whatever they're called, the terrible Cossacks who killed tens of thousands of Jews, happened during the time of the Sfira, during this time of year. And therefore, since those primarily affected the Ashkenazi communities, therefore, Ashkenazim are often a little bit more stringent when it comes to these minhagim. Again, they're minhagim, so whenever it comes to minhagim, you'll see big differences between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Right? Kitnios or Slichos are good examples. Okay, so this too, you'll see some different customs. I'm going like from Lezer Melamed, who's an Ashkenazi posek, but he's at that same time relatively, he's not looking to be extra machmir when it comes to Sefiras Omer. I'll put it that way. Okay. So one of the customs is to not get married, okay? And this custom is an ancient custom. It's interesting to note that some rabbis actually allowed a husband and wife who never had children to get married,
right?
Even during the first 33 days, because of the mitzvah of Pur Ravu is more important than to wait until after Lag BaOmer, because it's just a minhag. With that said, generally, the practice is to wait until after Lag BaOmer and to get married. What's the big deal? You've already waited however many years. You could wait another 2 weeks, and you have a seder, and that's okay. So generally, at least those who have the custom to wait will wait until after Lag BaOmer. Live dancing, like a concert, or rikudim and mecholot, you know, utza dancing in a... It was considered a happy, joyous thing, and therefore the Achronim bring down that the minhag is not to do that during this time period, not to go to a concert, etc., because it's very joyous. With that said, and I know I'm going into controversial territory here, so I don't mean to steer too much off We'll talk about that another time. But on Yom HaAtzma'ut and Yom Yerushalayim, Rav Melamed says it's fine and good and great to have live dancing and singing and music, because the halacha of celebrating the miracles trumps the minhag. And we see that that minhag is not universal. So on many simchadik occasions, for example, there's a bris, if there's a simchas sefer Torah, if there's even a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, and the minhag is generally to do a live music and to do bring a musician. So there too, there's leniency that the minhag wouldn't extend to that mitzvah situation or a siyum, etc. Rav Melamed suggests that the bar mitzvah boy ideally should do it on the day of his actual bar mitzvah, and he should make a siyum or at least a drasha. And it's an extra Torah-dik, simchadik, joyous occasion. Okay? That's in terms of live music. We'll talk in just a little bit about... I'll just do it now. We're already there. What about... This is the most important question for everybody. What about electronic music? Can I listen to some background music in the Omer while I'm doing my work? Can I, you know, do I have to run away from a store if that's some background music of Yishai Ribo in the background, right? So Rav Melamed says, first of all, there's three different opinions. The beautiful thing about Rav Melamed is he quotes all the opinions. One opinion is you're not allowed to listen to any music. Live music is the same as computer music. It brings us extra joyousness. No. But Rav Moshe Feinstein said, for a cappello, it's allowed. It's not actual drums, not actual instruments, and therefore many people go into their a cappella music now and during the 3 weeks. That's, I guess, the most classic perspective. The second opinion, which is even more strict, Rav Tzitz Eliezer and Shevet, Rav Vozner is more strict. He does not even allow a cappella. He says, no a cappella, because what's the difference between a cappella? They've mastered a way of making the music sound exactly like a guitar. So what's the difference? And then there's a third opinion, which is it's fine. Why? Because in the olden days, when you would hear music, when you would hear live music, that was like a party. It's like, wow, it's a joy, amazing, right? And nowadays, when we have background music constantly, for us to not have background music, it's like painful. It's not like an extra joy. It's just like that's how we function. Okay, so therefore, it wouldn't be problematic according to some poskim. What Rav Melamed does is he has a little bit of a compromise position. What he says is you can have background music, but it shouldn't be utza utza, you know, party music. Okay, and you shouldn't do it really loud if you don't have to. You should do it in the background while you're listening, while you're getting work done. It's okay in your iPhone. It's fine, according to Rav Melamed. And even if it's like live music, he says it's okay for educational purposes, for like Yom HaZikaron or for some sort of slow background music to make it more meaningful, then the minhag would not extend. That's not the application of live dancing. That's okay. So that's his compromise. If it's slow, if it's meaningful, if it's purposeful, that's okay. But not utza utza party music. Okay, that's in terms of electrical music. Okay, finally, for those who it's relevant, shaving and haircuts. Okay, everybody knows that the minhag
for aesthetic reasons. You know, you have an interview or something.
Oh, you have an interview, right?
You need a shave or something.
So the original minhag is not to shave or not to get a haircut during this time period. That was an expression of joy. It's a way, when we refrain from shaving, it's a way of showing people, reminding ourselves, reminding others that we're in a state of a little bit of a velus and therefore have more awareness. But there are a few lenient opinions. Some say there's a difference between shaving and taking a haircut. Haircut is more joyous. Shaving, especially for a person who shaves every day, is just to get rid of the filth. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik and others were lenient. And they would allow a person who always shaves to shave. And some, I think Rav Lichtenstein and others said, if Erev Shabbos you shave, it's a mitzvah. So you should shave, even during the Omer, because that's a mitzvah and that's more important than the minhag. And that's what many people do. And certainly for Hefsen Maruba, for a job interview where you really think there's a good chance you're not going to get the job, if you don't shave, there would be a leniency. Rav Moshe said there would be a leniency to shave during this time period. Thank God nowadays I don't think that as relevant. I mean, how often you're going to a job interview where they're going to discriminate you because you have a beard. It's cool to have a beard, I think. But I mean, I'm not the job interviewer. So it's case by case. Here in Israel, I think people understand more. But, you know, it depends on the scenario. In the army, you get a heter for having a beard. Once you have a beard, you don't have to shave. So that's what I did in the army. I started having a beard my first time when I was in the army. So I didn't have to shave every day. And Rav Melamed says it's good to do whatever your minhag is. Whatever your mom and dad has done is fine. But in general, it's a nice thing that people have beards. It reminds us and the people around us that it's a little bit of a different time period. So that's the deal with beards and shaving. Of course, if it bothers your mustache or if it's like painful or something like that, then you would be allowed to remove the hair. That would be a different situation. And again, the laws of Yom, according to Rav Melamed, all of music and partying, etc., is and shaving is fine and dandy. Lekrat Yom Atzmut and Yom Yerushalayim, he has a whole book just about the laws of living in Eretz Yisrael, Yom Atzmut, Yom Yerushalayim. That's his perspective. Obviously, a little controversial, but that's also where I'm at. That it's a good thing. Rav Kook, famously, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, would get upset at Bachrim in the yeshiva that wouldn't shave in honor of Yom Ha'atzmut and Yom Yerushalayim. So, from their perspective, it's a way of showing honor for the miracles that Hashem did for us during this time period. And with that, we conclude our halachic segment of our learning tonight. Are there any questions? Was anything not clear? Before we open up our Chassidus.